Welcome to the Engage podcast from Blackbaud, the podcast for people dedicated to purpose-driven work. From nonprofit fundraising and finance to grant-making, education, and corporate social responsibility, we're talking with sector experts and thought leaders about the best practices and latest trends that will help you grow your impact.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Sally Ehrenfried, and I lead government relations and strategic initiatives for Blackbaud. Joining me today is Kate Stobe from CECP. Kate, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Sally. Thank you for having me on today. My name is Kate Stobe, as you just mentioned, from CECP, or Chief Executives for Corporate Purpose. We are a membership organization working with large companies across their corporate purpose journeys and specializing in corporate social impact with dollars and people. And so we feel that that is the biggest embodiment of a company's purpose. So we really lean in with our companies on helping them advance their work, advance their purpose journey, and really help them figure out how to use our data, which is a big differentiator. Maybe some of your listeners have used our Giving in Numbers report before, but that's the largest, most historical repository of corporate social investment data that we produce in an annual report every year for practitioners and nonprofits to use in their work. So my role within CECP is the head of insights and research, leading the team that produces all of our wonderful research reports, mainly Giving in Numbers and another report called Corporate Purpose, Driving Business Value. We also, the team also levers the data collected in the Giving in Numbers survey to provide our companies with benchmarking that they need to help move their work forward and sell their story internally and externally to prove that they're having an impact in their communities.
Great. Thanks, Kate. And I know from my time on Blackbaud's corporate social responsibility team, I used Giving in Numbers as my benchmarking tool to sort of compare our programs against what you all were doing or what some of the larger businesses were doing that I know you survey on a regular basis. So it's a great, great resource. So why don't we dive right in to our questions? And so how has corporate giving evolved over the past decade? And what do you see as the most important shift companies need to understand right now?
It's so interesting, Sally. I've been in this space since 2008, and I still can't believe a decade ago was 2016. It feels like it wasn't that long ago. But thinking back to 2016 and how things have changed since then, there was already kind of that big shift in the late 2000s, early 2010s toward really aligning corporate social investments with business strengths, focusing programs where it made sense, that really leaned into the impact assets that the business had to be able to make differences in their local communities. And we really saw this movement peak in 2020. There was a big lead up in the end of 2019, but then we saw everything kind of peak in 2020 around the COVID-19 pandemic, where corporate social impact leaders were really seen as valuable partners within their organization, were able to unlock relief dollars to impact their local communities to really help toward the efforts. And then we saw things in 2022 start to normalize after that increased giving during the pandemic, but we've really seen the biggest changes in corporate social investments over the last year and a half now with this new administration and the really around companies wanting to be responsive to their nonprofit partners who may have seen drastic reductions of federal dollars and are trying to make sure they're able to serve their clients in their local communities. And so we've seen a lot of changes within our companies in how they're thinking about giving, where they're giving, and how they're kind of freeing up dollars to make sure that those nonprofits are getting served. We've also seen a big shift with this new 1% floor, where companies now must give at least 1% of their taxable income before anything qualifies for a tax deduction around corporate charitable contributions. And so that has really shifted how companies are thinking about their giving, thinking about giving as a tax strategy if they hadn't been before. And we're just starting to see some initial numbers from our 2025 giving in number survey that I'll talk about in a little bit. But one of the things I wanted to mention, Sally, as well, is that CCP has partnered with Your Cause by Blackbaud on a report that I'm really excited about coming out called Carrying the Torch, covering corporate giving and philanthropy in the American story. And celebration of America 250, and we're getting ready to launch that. And so I really wanted to make sure I brought that in here because it does talk about the evolution of corporate philanthropy over the last 250 years and a little bit about where it might go in the next 3 to 5 years. And so I just encourage readers to be on the, or listeners to be on the lookout for that when it comes out.
That's wonderful. I can't wait to see it because I know with our partnership with the Giving Institute and Giving USA, corporate philanthropy is one of the fastest growing segments that they report on in Giving USA, which of course comes out annually and looks at giving across the board in the United States. So as companies reevaluate their giving strategies, what are the biggest questions or pressures you're hearing from CSR leaders today?
Yeah, a lot of what we're hearing is around how can we stretch our dollars? How can we move funds from different programs, perhaps, to free up to ensure we're serving our communities? We're also hearing probably more around how can I tell my story internally to key internal stakeholders that perhaps have influence over budgets. And it's been a lot of re-education, socialization of strategies, getting buy-in inside the company. And then one of the other shifts we're seeing is in where companies are giving their charitable dollars or what program areas they're really focusing on. And so we're getting ready to release next week the first section, way earlier than ever before, of our Giving in Numbers report. We're breaking it down in sections this year, looking at total community investments and where those dollars are going in program areas. And what we saw for a match set of companies, so companies that have completed our survey every year for the last 3 years, a fairly large shift in dollars and where they're being allocated. For instance, health and social services, which still gets the largest dollar amount, but that has decreased by 28%. Whereas giving towards civic and public affairs organizations, focused nonprofits, saw an increase of 39% of community investments. And then there's variation among the program areas underneath that and between those two, but those are our two extremes that saw the largest shift. So companies are shifting where their dollars are going. Companies are shifting how they're thinking about their giving, perhaps as a tax strategy or as, maintaining it as part of their strong corporate purpose, thinking about how and what they could maybe pivot from a charitable grant toward a business expense, or they're leaning into their corporate foundation and providing funding into that in what we call whenever it's beneficial, right? Their influx of cash in maybe boom years where it's beneficial to their tax strategy to provide those extra dollars to their foundation. And then they're better able to maintain consistent output over the time. So the biggest questions we're hearing are those: how do we do more than with less? What should we be thinking about? What aren't we thinking about? How can we really lean into making sure our communities are getting the resources they need to serve their constituents, while also really communicating that why internally.
Kate, what separates companies that are truly strategic in their corporate giving from those that are still more reactive or transactional?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sally. And so at CCP, we see those companies that are truly strategic in their giving, not just those that have a theory of change for their social impact strategies, real clear metrics that they're working toward, but there's also that internal buy-in and in commitment inside of their company that they get it. They're all on the same page. This is the most visible embodiment of their corporate purpose. And so they're working around their corporate giving strategies in their communities and really seeing it come to life. So that's one aspect where companies are truly strategic in their giving. But we also like to talk about everybody's on a journey with their giving. Everybody's on a journey in life. And companies have different tools inside their social impact toolboxes that they can lever for different purposes. And so when you talk about reactive or more transactional, we really see matching gifts programs as those transactional programs. Matching gifts budgets tend to be about 12% of a company's overall total community investments. And those dollars are going toward organizations that their employees are the most passionate about. They might not align fully to their organizational theory of change, but they are serving a purpose. They are engaging employees. They are making that connection and saying, employee, your organizations are important to us too, and we're going to put dollars behind that. So it really depends on within that social impact strategy, what are the different tools that companies can use, and are those elements more transactional, more reactive? Disaster response tends to be more reactive, right? But they all serve a purpose in moving forward that social impact strategy and theory of change. So those truly successful, I would say, and impactful companies do have it woven throughout their entire organization. They have that buy-in at every level across the organization, and everyone knows why it's important. So I also would say that truly strategic companies are working closely with their nonprofit partners. We've seen a real transition over the last several years from breadth of support to real depth. And so companies are shutting down the number of relationships they have with their nonprofit partners, but going deeper in with their nonprofit partners. So they're really able to work with the nonprofit, say, what are your biggest needs? What can we solve with cash? Because cash is king in most situations. What can we solve with our people that you have issues on? What can we solve by making connections with you, perhaps in our government affairs team, to learn how to go to Washington, D.C. and lobby for maybe policies or initiatives that you might have? So they're really looking across their organization. They're really being partners with the nonprofits. And then they're working with those nonprofits to co-create impact metrics. What makes the most sense for us to measure together? What can we really track? How can we be partners over a longer period of time? Because change takes time. And so that's where we've seen some more strategy work and success in those companies that are really showing up as partners to their nonprofits.
And what advice would you give to the nonprofits as these companies move and adapt to, the changing dynamics, not only within internally, but externally, and also with their employees? What sort of advice would you share today for our nonprofit listeners?
Yeah, it's really hard, right, Sally, because nonprofits shouldn't necessarily be adapting their strategies to meet the needs of the corporation, right, in their work. But I do know that it's most successful when the nonprofit, if they're going out to a company, has done their research, who knows how they fit in, who knows maybe how to tap into different assets and make their case in a way that really resonates with the company, that says, not only do we need cash from you, but we need employees to do XYZ. We need to be connected to your marketing team to help us with some skills based for this. We need this and this and this, and really make those connections between the fit with the nonprofit and the company need and their theory of change, really what their social impact work is geared toward. Because it's not successful when, and I used to work inside companies too, and I've had some very uncomfortable phone calls with nonprofits where it's like, yes, we understand you submitted a proposal. We understand there's a lot of need in this community for this service. At the same time, we're not the ones to meet that need because these are our focus. This is our focus area. And so it's hard to have those conversations. But it's easier when you both go in with a shared set of expectations around what, where there are those connections between the nonprofit need and the company strengths.
Great. I think that's very helpful. Thanks, Kate. So how should companies be thinking about measuring the impact of their giving, not just in communities, but for the business itself?
This is so funny too, Sally. And I am chuckling to myself because I worked inside of a company when organizations like Mission Measurement were really getting off the ground in the late 2000s. And we've been working on this question for a very long time. And it's tricky because companies, CSR practitioners need to show where their dollars are going and what impact the dollars are having in the community. However, change does take time, and leaders want different metrics than maybe what makes sense for the nonprofit partner. And so how do you reconcile all of these things? And that's where we really encourage companies to connect with their nonprofits. What are those vital few metrics that we need to track for this program that perhaps you're already tracking, or that dovetail nicely with these metrics that we're trying to share with our leaders? And so when they're co-created, when they're very simple, when they're very few, and then it's a lot about that internal piece for the CSR practitioner of socializing, getting the understanding around why they're tracking these things. Everybody wants an easy answer, like these dollars fed this many people, which has value, right? If you're supporting food pantries and you know that X dollars can buy X pounds of food, which can then serve X number of people, I think there is value in capturing those high-level metrics. But if you're thinking about that longer-term and change, you got to break it down. And that's where it's really helpful to have a theory of change, so you know what success looks like at every step, and how to get there in the end, which will ultimately impact society. So there's no easy answer to this, right? but it is a bigger question back to companies and nonprofits around what are you actually trying to change in your communities? And then what role can you play in making that change happen? And then what are the vital few that your leadership internally in a company are most interested in seeing to help perhaps justify budget for year over year?
That's great. And I know that metrics and the supporting information that they bring, you know, are so critically important, as you said, not only to program justification, but also to the actual real impact that companies and nonprofits can have on their respective communities. You mentioned that you are releasing giving in numbers in sections this year, and that you're excited about the first couple of sections that are going to coming out soon. Looking ahead, what trends in corporate giving are you most excited about or most concerned about as expectations for businesses continue to rise?
I wouldn't necessarily say concerned. Perhaps surprised is a better word for it. We made some hypotheses when the 1% floor came out almost a year ago, exactly, was written into law, a little over a year ago, a couple days, right?
By a couple days.
By a couple days. We made some hypotheses around what companies might do in response. We also did a couple pulse surveys that asked what companies might do in response. Interestingly, we asked that question in October, and we asked it again a couple weeks ago. And for the companies that answered both, we saw some changes from what they thought in October is not what they thought. Not what they answered now. The biggest answer we see is that companies are maintaining their current strategies right now. We hypothesize that they might give more to corporate foundation, to the corporate foundation. They might open a donor advised fund. They might provide maybe multi-year grants, but in one lump payment that the nonprofit then spreads out over those multiple years of the grant agreement. What we saw was really surprising. We saw that while the median total community investment dollars per company rose, so to 23.7 million was the median total community investment for all companies, the top quartile was giving about 66 million. Versus that 23.7 million. But the top quartile with that median amount being 67 million, we actually saw that the top quartile gave so much more that it raised the median overall. And so the majority of companies actually kept their giving steady or decreased a little, but it was in that top quartile of companies that really had that deep commitment to their communities that raised their giving significantly from previous years. So that was surprising. We thought it would be a more overall increase based on what we'd heard from companies, but it was actually only in that top quartile that we saw the biggest growth or increase. What we are hoping companies do and what we work with companies every day on is making sure they're able to tell that story internally to maintain that commitment to their communities. Because yes, skills-based volunteering is great. Yes, product is great if companies have products to donate in kind. Yes, space is great. Yes, knowledge is great. But oftentimes cash is really king and what helps actually move the needle in communities. And so we encourage companies to make sure that they're maintaining their commitment to cash giving at their nonprofit partners. But also it's really interesting how they are leaning into other impact assets that they have across their organization to really show up as true partners. So we're also really excited about that and how they're thinking about really strategically they're giving and they're maintaining those relationships in their communities. So while that was really surprising and very interesting, the commitment is there from companies. They are committed to give and to keep their strategy going and not really. We saw a huge kind of strategy refresh post-COVID as leadership changed inside of companies. But with that commitment, we're really hopeful that they're going to maintain their giving for at least the next couple of years.
Well, I know I'm in some ways looking forward to a year from now, because at that point, your numbers and then Giving USA's numbers will be out and we'll have a full year of the new tax law under our belts to be able to see the impact that it has had not only on corporate giving, but also on individual giving as well. And you mentioned something earlier that I'm hopefully we can dig into at another time, but it's how companies might use their corporate or their in-house lobbying teams to actually help assist some of the outcomes on the philanthropic and grant-making side. So a conversation for another day. You know, before we sign off, is there anything you'd like to leave the audience with?
That's a really good question. I think one thing we're seeing in this hybrid world and with all the Zoom fatigue that we're experiencing is that in-person connections are so vital. And if there's any way, I know CSR practitioners often like to be not bombarded with asks or requests in public spaces, but if there are spaces available to connect in person about the good you're both doing in communities, I would extend that to your nonprofit listeners. What spaces can you show up in community with your corporate partners and really foster that connection to ultimately drive the work forward would be one of my recommendations. Since I'm zoomed out, I'm a remote employee, and it's always great when I get to be around people. It's been conference season lately, so it's been really nice to connect in person and talk about the work, yes, but also talk about just who we are and why we do the work.
Great. Thanks, Kate. I really appreciate your time. This has been a fascinating conversation. I know I've learned a lot from you today, and I know our listeners have as well. So thanks again for joining me. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. And I look forward to future CECP BlackBaud Your Cause partnerships.
Yes. Thank you, Sally. And thank you to BlackBaud for having me on today.